Once you make the shift from saving to investing, you know, the first order of business is to look to minimize fees and expenses in order to get the most return possible. But with interest rates near all-time lows for several years now and appearing likely to remain that way for many years to come, some investors are getting antsy and looking for ways to juice their returns so they earn more than the paltry returns on their bank savings and their CDs and their bonds. Some are also not so bullish on continued high stock market returns going forward and are concerned that the S&P has little room to rise after its 85% return over the past 5 years. So this is the paradox of lower expected returns, and it's a scenario that investors are too scared to handle their own money and they're willing to turn over to professionals, which as a professional myself, you know, I think is a sound strategy. I've seen a lot of people make a lot of mistakes trying to do this stuff on their own. But many in their desperation are looking for star investment managers who they believe can goose their returns through financial wizardry or out-of-the-box gambles and other forms of pixie dust, as I call it. As a result, individual investors are increasingly handing their money over to high-fee advisors to overcome low expected future returns. And many are buying into what some investment managers are telling them, which is to diversify outside of stocks and bonds and other real assets like gold into so-called alternatives and other vehicles, expensive vehicles that promise higher rates of return. And somehow they think that the sprinkling of this pixie dust can produce market-beating returns. The reality of these alternatives, which has been shown over and over again, is that most of these assets don't bring anything remotely close to what they promise, despite the high fees charged to you in order for you to get into the game. But here's the catch with star investment managers. You know, sure, they're out there, some of them with incredible track records and long-term proven records, like Warren Buffett from Berkshire Hathaway. We all know about him. Also, Howard Marks from Oaktree Capital and a few others. But finding a surefire market-beating money manager is anything but a sure thing. Moreover, as we all know, past investment performance is no guarantee of future returns, so going with a star does not automatically guarantee high returns. Moreover, there's another catch with these star investment managers. They typically demand higher fees, so they say, to support their search and their research for higher yielding assets, because they often need to dig deep and communicate with specialized experts to uncover hidden, undiscovered, undervalued investment gems. And while those high-fee advisors or portfolio managers might actually manage assets better, even if they do manage them better, what they put in one pocket with better behavior and performance, they take from another pocket with high fees. And if they underperform the market, which statistically is more likely to happen, you get the experience of a double whammy. Your bad returns get further sliced by the high fees you've paid. And that hurts your portfolio more than simple returns from a low-cost index fund. We also see that in recent data about investment performance, as more active managers, these are these star managers, fail to perform well. And at the same time, advisory fees are on the rise. It's incredibly ironic if you think about it, because it plays into the psychological fact that if you feel that if you pay more, you're going to get more, like you pay up for a luxury item, you pay more. If you see a luxury item and the price is too low, kind of feel maybe it's just not worth it. So by paying more psychologically, you feel like you're getting more. In luxury items, that may be the case, but investment management, it rarely is. Now, historical number crunching of managed portfolios has proven that high fees can be the most destructive part of any financial plan. So while no one knows what the future returns of the stock market will be, many think that stocks tend to generate lower future returns when they're richly valued. And as I said before, if the S&P 500 has been up 85% in the last 5 years, some might think that it's richly valued. So if it is possible that returns in the future are going to be muted, they are going to be even more muted if they will be eaten up by a bigger portion of fees, producing this even lower return. Now, just to clarify, in a world where some of the best funds and advisors cost less than 0.5% a year of managed assets, I think to pay for a manager or a mutual fund or an index fund, you want to pay a half a point or less. That's the number. Anything over than that, it's in very many cases hard to justify the extra fee. Now, some of these hedge fund managers will charge 2% and 20% of the profits. So that's really egregious and outrageous in my point of view. So now that you know that high fees are likely only going to drag down your returns, here are the signs to look for and how advisors and managers might sell this high fee story to you, signs that you should be wary of. Well, first, they may try to scare you. They're going to try to scare you about how the market's been up and up and how the time may now be ripe for the next 2008 debacle right around the corner. When the reality is that the economy does seem to be surely but slowly inching back to normalcy, albeit with a few hiccups along the way. But don't fall into that fear trap. That 2008 debacle was a one-time event representing, you know, a bubble in real estate and so on. We're not really seeing those kinds of things right now, and the economy seems to be doing pretty well. So don't get caught up in this fear of the 2008 debacle. And also remember this, that the market has well surpassed, come back, I should say, from the drop in 2008 and 2009, and it has far surpassed that. So by holding on tight, you can live to survive another day. They'll also tell you that they have a proprietary special strategy, a quant strategy perhaps, and that there's PhDs on their staff, and they can ferret out undervalued investments, they can run sophisticated multi-factor models, and deliver outsized returns, especially spouting mathematical jargon just to impress and intimidate you. You know, if you really can't understand it, then don't invest in it. If it's too complicated, leave it alone. There's always another fish to fry, always another fish in the sea. Also, they'll tell you that you have to diversify into assets outside of stocks and bonds and get into these alternatives and other assets, when the reality is that most of these assets are really just high-fee, perennial underperformers. By the way, as a side note, many of the biggest pension plans have been reducing their investments in these quirky, high-priced investments as they have come to realize that the promise of higher returns was not achieved. And then finally, they offer you returns of like 8%, 10%, 12%, and they say with low risk. Now let's face it, in an economy where the real low risk return is only 1.5%, how can anybody give you 8, 10, and 12% with low risk? So in short, they're going to use a lot of buzzwords and try to con you into believing they can generate performance, when they're really just selling you the hope of higher returns in exchange for the guarantee of higher fees. And I love that. It's really worth repeating. The hope of higher returns in exchange for the guarantee of higher fees. And finally, ask yourself, whose best interest is really being served? What do they gain by the sale of these expensive items? And truly, if they're making so much, how much will be left for you when it's all over? And I want to give thanks to Cullen Roche, the author of Pragmatic Capitalism, What Every Investor Needs to Understand About Money and Finance, for some of the research for today's commentary.